Good morning, everyone. It's very good and very rewarding to be here. I bring greetings from Lexington, Kentucky, the home of horses and bourbon. Hopefully you've had some of maybe both, but mostly probably the bourbon when you were here. So far, this is almost like a little summary of what we've been hearing here at the feast. So far, we've learned that we are here because we are not there yet, or not here yet. Still much to learn, and we learned the spiritual attitudes of leaders will be taking the model of a family. We have hope and confidence in anticipation of the promises of God, not just wishing it. And we look forward to the increasing our knowledge sevenfold, overcoming our inner grizzly, learning that a change of heart is critical if that kingdom is going to continue and grow our spiritual nature. Also, we're to honor our elders and the newcomers and look forward to having some form of fun in eternity. That was a new one on me. But worship and sacrifice as we wait. Develop a heart of obedience and service to God and one another. Now, this sermon will pretty much follow after the sermonette. It's going to pick up on some of the themes and give you a little more than the sermonette did, so I appreciate what Mr. Jewell put up. Today we are going to look at a vision of the coming kingdom of God through three specific changes: the future physical changes to the earth, changes within our own hearts, and spreading change to others, not just in the millennium, but in today as well. The first change is the earth's physical change. We can just look around and we can see and be inspired by the beauty that God has created in our physical world that we live in today. The intricacies of our human body, the interconnectedness of each part of creation, and the stars above. Turn with me to Romans 8:22. And we're going to talk a little bit about the creation here that God put in place in Romans 8:22. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and it labors with birth pangs and together until now. At Christ's return, he'll bring physical changes to our earth that will support his reign of his kingdom during the 1,000-year millennium. Based on Ezekiel 36:35, we see how God is bringing back the Garden of Eden to this earth, which will refresh and encourage those that have suffered greatly through the tribulation, as we learned about yesterday in the sermon message by Mr. DeVilbus. These changes together inspire us and them and fill us with the expectation of his promises. We will be there to help and comfort his people. The earth will become like a Garden of Eden. That's Ezekiel 36. The oceans will be healed and teem with fish. Today, 85% of the global fish population are overexploited and they're declining. Turn with me to Ezekiel 47, please. God's healing is going to correct all that. In Ezekiel 47, and then in verse 8, we'll start. Then he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." Sounds wonderful. Sounds great. I think it's going to be very healthy for the people that are alive at that time to see that happen, and it'll be exciting for us to see it happen too. The next part here is the deserts will be filled with water, grass, and rushes. Today, there are 14 million square miles of hot desert on Earth. That's a lot of desert. Isaiah 35 says, "For the water shall burst forth in the wilderness in streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool in the thirsty land, springs of water. There shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Wow. Imagine going to the Sahara Desert and seeing something completely different, like the Sahara Green Park now. Also, the sun will become 7 times brighter. And what does that mean? There'll be 7 days of sun incorporated into one day, and that will be going every single day of the week. That's a lot. Our global food supply is being greatly challenged by the needs of the forecasted 9.7 billion people in 2050. That's about 20% more than today's 8.2 billion. Turn with me to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 and verse 26. Hopefully all this will be very inspiring to see all these changes happening. Things will grow much faster. The reaper will overtake the sower. In Isaiah 30, verse 26, it says, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun." So not only will you get 7 times the amount of sun during the day, but at night you're going to get sun at night too, what we currently have. "And the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In that day, the Lord binds up the bruise of his people." We heard about the bruise. We heard about all the pain and suffering that people are going to go through. "And he heals the stroke of their wound." God is a God of love. He wants everybody to have a life, to have a future. Turn with me to Amos 9, please. And we're just going to review the statement I made about 3 sentences ago, Amos 9:13. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. And the hills will flow with milk and wine. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." That's the end of Amos 9:13. And then Joel 3 says, "And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains will drip with new wine. The hills shall flow with milk." It's amazing all the things that he's going to do to encourage the people that are alive, and also we can see it and be part of it ourselves. And it says at the end of Joel 3:18, "And all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacia." Be another change coming too. And this one everybody will be excited about. I'm looking forward one day to having a pet bear. I have property in southern Kentucky, and we have bears on that property that visit us once in a great while. I'm hoping that one of them will be my pet someday. "The animals and the reptiles will become tame. Today, 1,500 species of animals eat other animals for food." 1,500 species. That is amazing. In the U.S., 57,000 injuries are recorded yearly between humans and animals, with 440 human deaths yearly. All that will go away It's as it says in Isaiah 11, and we're very familiar with the scripture here, the cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. It's amazing the changes that are happening, that will happen with the coming kingdom, and how uplifting and how exciting it will be for us and for the people who were alive at the time. A highway to Jerusalem will be put in place to travel safely to seek God. It's called the Highway of the Redeemed. Today, there are 120 million miles of roadway on the planet, worldwide. But one very special highway will be built. And that highway will be a safe place for everybody to go who want to go to Jerusalem. Turn with me to Isaiah 35, please, and we'll read about that account. This helps us see a vision of where God and where his heart really is. Isaiah 35, verse 8. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the Highway of Holiness. And then skip down to verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. I'm going to imagine that joy is going to be very, very strong. Also, in addition to that, Jerusalem will become the tallest point on earth, issuing a healing river to the earth. Today, Mount Everest is 29,000 feet above sea level. Isaiah 2 says, "Now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." The feast ignites our faith and lights our lamps as we return to our homes. The messages we have received, and we've had a lot of really good messages here, inspire us at the feast and can be added to how beautiful and fulfilling some of those key physical changes that Christ is going to bring at his return. That expectation of those changes can be a light and inspiration for us as we endure till that time. So now we're going to talk about the second change. The second change we're going to talk about is the change within our hearts. We can grow our heart's enthusiasm of all the beauty and life that comes with Jesus at his return. Can we see the life and beauty in this green forest? It seems to be exuding life. You all want to be there. Well, we can also start feeling it with our hearts. There are changes to our hearts in the kingdom, and we can realize some of this here today. Here's what Jesus said. Turn with me to John 7. It's probably the same scripture they always use for the last day of the feast, John 7. And just verse 38. Jesus says this, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." We, everyone in this room today, believe in Jesus, and we live the truth in our hearts. And that can be living waters for other people. Here's a famous quote. "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be even seen or even touched." As I get the page to change here. Those with electronic ones don't have this problem. "But they must be felt with the heart." The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be even seen or touched. They must be felt with the heart. Does anybody know who said that? Oh, I don't have any takers. It was Helen Keller, a blind and deaf girl. She was a famous author and disability advocate and someone who was both deaf and blind in the late 1800s and early 1900s. It seems insightful from a deaf and blind girl in a hopeless situation to observe that. But I think she's onto something here, considering how her deaf and blind world could intersect in some way, or some ways, with ours. As she discovered the world outside her, she said, "The living word awakened my soul and gave it light, hope, and set it free." She was inspired by it. We're going to talk about how we've been inspired too. So here's another quote from Helen Keller. She always thought that some power was in her life throughout her entire life. She said, "The Bible gives me a deep, comforting sense that things seen are temporal," that means temporary, "and things unseen are eternal." This feast, we've been practicing living in an unseen world of the kingdom of God. Here at the feast, we build our hearts' hope and expectations for life. Isn't it true that when we look back on our lives, that the most beautiful things our hearts remember are those precious moments when our lives were lifted up? Someone was rescued. Someone was enlightened. Enlightened with a new truth or found a new hope in this broken world. We then could have hope and expectation in the unseen future God promised, and we celebrate it here at the feast. That's what we've been talking about every day. God's truth, the living word, gives us a hope and a light and sets our hearts free. God's writing his ways through the Holy Spirit and his words on our minds and hearts, encouraging us to follow him. So here are 5 points about seeing the best things with our hearts. First, you want to perceive with your heart. Are our hearts listening? Our hearts are perceiving and feeling what his finger is writing on our hearts, like Helen Keller. Her teacher was fingerspelling words in Helen's hand as she was describing or holding something that was an object so she could understand what the object was. And she got excited finding out that there was a name for everything that was in the world she couldn't see. In our lives, there are so many distractions that distort our incoming information to our lives and to our minds and to our hearts. But we must keep trying until the light comes on to clear those distractions away and let it inspire us. Let God inspire us. Let him in and live his way and get excited about it like Helen Keller did. Don't let our self-righteousness, we all have some, I'll admit it too as well, or cares of this world block his righteousness from pulling at our hearts. We've heard some messages at the feast about how our hearts need to be pulled towards God, how we have to put aside some of the things that we think or feel to let God work in us. Open your hearts to him and let him lift us up so we can share it with others. I'll tell you why in a little bit. Don't turn back is the second point. When Helen Keller was enlightened by learning everything in her world, the communication opened up her world. There was no turning back. She could only go forward out of her excitement for more truth about the world outside her. Her heart was seeking every new word at every new item. Our hearts, too, got very excited when we learned the truth of the world to come. And there is no going back for us either, is there? Third point is move forward, seeking God and the kingdom of God with our hearts. Moses in Exodus said to the Israelites, move forward and see the mighty hand of God to the Israelites as they were frozen, hopeless, and fearful on the edge of the Red Sea. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29, please. If we're always following Jesus, if we're always following Christ and letting God light us up, let him light our lives up, it really grows on itself and grows you and creates a lot of spiritual oil. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Here God is saying, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Do we know what all the things are that our heart seeks? And when we do seek him with all our hearts, turn with me to Psalm 105. Our hearts can feel something. Our hearts need to feel something. We need to grow the feeling in our hearts to keep growing that flame, the flame of the love and the hope for Jesus Christ and the kingdom to come. Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105 and verse 3. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. We seek the Lord and we're here at the feast rejoicing and seeking him. Seek the Lord in his strength, verse 4. Seek his face evermore. Helen Keller used her heart to overcome her handicaps of blindness and deafness and became an example of overcoming and was inspired to accomplish much. We too are inspired to accomplish much overcoming by our hearts seeking God and helping others. The messages we had here talked about how we should be helping others too. It's all about how we look at relationships. So the fourth point is overcome to the end. Helen Keller was viewed as isolated, but was very in touch with the outside world. We too are viewed as isolated, but in touch with the world. The feast will be for the whole kingdom, the whole world, I'm sorry, in the kingdom. She was able to enjoy music by feeling the beat. She was able to have a strong connection with animals through touch. She was delayed at picking up language, but that did not stop her from having a voice. We shouldn't be stopped either. She kept overcoming obstacles and making a huge difference for herself and others until the end. She accomplished a lot in her life to support the disabled. Deaf and blind, she wrote 12 published books. She visited 35 countries. I think we can see just by those two facts alone that she did everything with her heart. We here at the feast have a lot of opportunities too, but we have a few advantages in our hearts that Helen Keller did not have. We have God's Holy Spirit and his word, his calling and his fellowship with his people. And even though we can't see him or touch him, we can do like Helen Keller, and our hearts can reach out to him and commit to him. We can commit our hearts. We have an opportunity to make a difference until the end of our lives, until the coming kingdom comes. We can work with other people too, people who may not even be in the church, seeking the most beautiful thing in our hearts, Jesus Christ within us, the living water. Let's keep seeking God with the advantages that we have. Let's put all our effort into it like she did. Let's try to connect our hearts and minds to the work he's doing with us and in us. One last saying of Helen Keller. When she was blind, she was able to perceive this visible characteristic. She was able to perceive that. She said, keep your face to the sunshine, and you cannot see a shadow. Keep your face to the sunshine, and you cannot see a shadow. To me, this means I have to stay in God's light and not in the shadows of death, Satan, or the world. So the fifth point is stay in the light. Let your hearts rejoice with all his gifts, both spiritual and physical. And we all know James 1, verse 17. I'll turn there and we'll review it quickly here. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Can we be intensely focused in this broken world like she was, even though she was blind, and be able to keep our focus on God and learn from him? Not turning to the shadows or being distracted by false gospel. In appreciating the bountiful gifts that he gives us, including the spiritual gifts he gives us as well, he gives us those things daily for the good of us and others if we use them to his glory. We're accountable for producing spiritual fruits. We can continue reaching for God, seeking his light in our hearts, like Helen Keller did. She was seeking the unseen world to light up her life. Can we also light up the lives of others? 1 John 1, 7, please. We can, but we have to walk in a light ourselves. But 1 John 1, 7 talks about our walk. And we can be an example for others. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His son cleanses us from all sin. We talked about the first change. That's the change to the earth. We talked about the second change. That's the change within our hearts. Now the third change, how our hearts will change others. We know the light shines through the darkness. We are the lights of the world. Can we shine through the darkness of this world when we return to our lives in the world? Can we feel God's Holy Spirit, the flame in us, bringing a light of life for others around us? We are his children on earth today. And John 7:38, I think we turned there already, but it basically says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This scripture has both a future and present day application. The future is, how will he be the source of living water to all peoples, and us being his bride from our hearts too? Isaiah talks about it in Isaiah 55. You can turn there, please. God talks about setting up an invitation to abundant life. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Kind of what Jesus said when he stood up in the temple. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2, and I just go to the end of verse 2. And let your soul delight itself in abundance and share it with others. Joel 2, please. Joel 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. But there's something we can do today. Here's what Christ said to the apostles in Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria until the end of the world, earth. We have the Holy Spirit and can share the gospel as the apostles and promote it to others. Our media department's doing much. Can we do something too? You know the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We have been given the Holy Spirit and represent Jesus Christ as his ambassador on this planet. We can bring our hearts and tents in the hope of the feast as living waters to our world back home. We can be an example living his way in hope of his coming kingdom. Our calling is to bear heartfelt spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit given through us, to share with those as Jesus did. When he was with them, when Jesus was with them, their hearts were burning. You can read about that in Luke 24. When we're with people, maybe even people in the church, or maybe people who are not in the church, and we're talking the truth and talking about things that we do at the Feast of Tabernacles, will we have enough passion and enough enthusiasm to let their hearts burn or help their hearts to burn? Luke 24 and verse 23. And the apostles said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? People who listen and accept the grace of Jesus' sacrifice allows them to experience a fuller and more purposeful life. After all, we are lights in the world, and we can help in a kind and sensitive way bring the gospel to the ones that God is calling. Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. In the future, that will be us. But how about today in this broken world? Are we being sent for his purpose? Luke 15 says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. But then continuing in Luke 15 and verse 8, it's got the story or the parable of the lost coin. I think here God uses us. Verse 8, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp? Are we lamps? Sweep the house and search it carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there's a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God will make physical changes to the earth with the coming kingdom. He also changes our hearts with his Holy Spirit, but we have to let him. We are then accountable to offer God's hope to others through our lives now and on into the millennium. And we can rejoice and share joy over every sinner that repents today and in the kingdom. And this is how. We have a continuum of changes here. We have the physical creation on the left, moving towards the inner heart in the middle, and then sharing God's love with others on the right. When we leave the feast and return home, we can take this with us. We can take with us a heart of change that we can share with others.